You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Back on the Roto Experts. Thanks for joining us this morning. Wherever you find us, through the Fantasy Sports Radio app, or if you're streaming it online, or iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Blewett, along with my co-host George Kurtz, and we'll be here for the next hour, taking around the world of the NFL, diving into the games for this week. We'd spent a lot of time on injuries prior to this, and obviously the big news of the week, George, was Deshaun Watson going down with a big injury.
Yeah, that brutal. Just brutal. I mean, non-contact, tears his ACL, running a quarterback run option play. Wasn't touched. Yeah, just brutal. I mean, this is football. This is what happens. Guys get hurt. We've seen this over and over again. Sometimes it's not a matter of having the best team. It's having the team that stays the healthiest that'll win these leagues. I know one thing, I got five guys on the IR. You know, I have IR slots in that league. Yay, five of them. I still can't survive that. It's rough. Yeah, and yet, it's just rough. And, you know, I forget who tweeted this out earlier this week, but it's true. It might have been Jake Steele. It could have been Adam Ronis, too, by the way. That, you know, this is why, you know, your fortunes change in a league from week to week. Earlier this week, you probably thought you were done. You know, you maybe needed, absolutely had to win this week. You had Ezekiel Elliott, the other guy had Deshaun Watson. You're like, oh, great, I'm toast. Well, now Elliott's going to play, Watson's gone. You know, you just never know in fantasy football how your fortunes will change.
It's so funny that you said that, because I'm in a league where... So on Wednesday, I was feeling pretty good about the matchup. The guy had Zeke Elliott, who he was going to have to bench. I have Pierre Garçon. So literally from Wednesday to Thursday night, the guy plays Matt Forte. I lose Pierre Garçon. Zeke Elliott goes back in on Friday morning, and I had Alfred Morris. So I went from starting Alfred Morris to Zeke Elliott on his bench. That gets flip-flopped. He starts Matt Forte. I lose Garçon for the season. And I'm absolutely going to – it looks like right now I'm going to lose unless something big happens. Because talk about fortunes changing. That league, I mean, it's a 24-hour swing where entire roster construction's changed.
It's weird, Mike. I don't know if we've ever really truly seen
this. This is the weirdest NFL season. This is the weirdest NFL season.
I would agree. It's almost like in baseball where, you know, you're looking at your Sunday matchups and all of a sudden the starting pitcher got taken out. You know, you go from facing the number five guy. The ace is going to pitch, they're going to give an extra day off. Now they're not. You know, now you're going up against Clayton Kershaw, who was originally going to sit that day. That's what it reminds me of, these kind of weeks in football. Because you just don't know from week to week what's going on here. It's made it more interesting, but also made it more hard to judge, hard to figure out what's going on. Like I said, the Ezekiel Elliott thing is just a joke. It's been going on forever. One day he's suspended, one day he's not. Everybody tells you he can't win, then he wins. Everybody tells you he's going to lose, he's going to lose, he wins. Going to win, he loses. It's just strange what's going on here. We just don't know from day to day what's going to happen.
And this is, we didn't even get into the trades, which, you know, we had Jay Ajayi, a starting running back in Miami. He goes to Philadelphia. It blows up that backfield because Wendell Smallwood is droppable and LeGarrette Blount, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And do Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams even have any value? We'll get into this when we get into the games after the break. We'll talk Dolphins, Eagles, and a variety of other teams that are impacted by the trades. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Thank you.
like this nice little 80s feel we got going on here on the Roto Experts.
Great tune.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So if you want to hit us up today, you can on Twitter at FNCSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. Do that on Twitter. If you want to give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. So going through the games, we didn't really talk trade deadline in general, but we'll do it through the course of these games. And I guess I'll start with Broncos-Eagles because that was one where we saw one of the bigger trades. Really, so the big trades that come down were the Kelvin Benjamin trade, which we already talked about that and its impact. The second one was Dwayne Brown going to the Seattle Seahawks. He wanted out of Houston. They accommodated him. Seattle now has a legitimate left tackle, which really helps Russell Wilson in a big way. So now, unfortunately, it's probably going to hurt the Texans and Tom Savage in a way that, honestly, I can't quite fathom how you could trade your left tackle in the middle of the season. But if he's that unhappy and you felt like he was going to be disgruntled, I guess you have to make that move. But really a big one, George, for fantasy purposes the Broncos are playing the Eagles this weekend, and the Eagles are the ones that made the big trade. Jay Ajayi shows up in Philly. It leaves a vacuum of carries to go to Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams. So let's tackle the Miami situation first, because Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams were picked up on a lot of waiver wires. Adam Gase has said that Kenyon Drake was the lead back, and I guess we just have to kind of trust what he says at this point.
Yeah, I'm not trusting anybody. This could be one of those situations like what we thought with Dallas, that once Elliott went out, even though Mill Moore was on the roster all year, McFadden was going to get the ball, because Williams got much more touches this year than Drake has. He's also more of a traditional size running back than Drake. So in my mind, this is a situation. They'll both play. Who's ever hot continues. Who's ever not does not. Really that simple for me. They were both worthwhile gambles on the waiver wire. I know I picked up Damian Williams in a couple of leagues. I did not get Drake. So you see what's going on there. But the bottom line is also this. Miami wasn't able to run the ball that much with Ajayi. Now, you can think whatever you want of Ajayi. He's still better than Williams and or Drake. And if they couldn't get much done with him, I don't know how it's going to change at Williams or Drake. So I think you got to keep your expectations within check. They're both no more than RB3s for me there. So I'm not expecting huge things anyway here. As for Ajayi with Philadelphia, do not expect much from him tomorrow. You know, Denver's one of the best run defenses in the league. He just got there. And he hasn't really done that much all season anyway. This was a strange trade for me. It's not like Miami had a star backup behind Ajayi where they could afford to deal him. I think Ajayi, from what we've heard, was causing some problems there. I think that Miami also knew. And by the way, they didn't fleece Philadelphia. Philadelphia is well aware of these things. We all are. That Ajayi's long-term prognosis with the knee is not good. I think Philadelphia is going all in for the season. This was the best back they could acquire. So they went for it, rolled the dice, see what happens here over the rest of the season. I do like Ajayi for Philadelphia, but not this week.
I think it's obvious that Philly didn't like what they had, right? In Blunt and Smallwood, they felt like they had to make a move. To your point, the Broncos are allowing the least fantasy points per game to running backs.
Price was cheap.
Yeah, it was. And look, Gase excoriated his team after the Thursday night debacle last week. They lost 40-0. Nothing went right. He talked specifically about, because the line was criticized in a question to him, and he talked specifically about the running backs not doing their job and improving. And I think it was an obvious shot at Ajayi, and they didn't want him improving anymore. They felt like maybe he wasn't running the plays that they were calling, or certainly not following his assignment. And now here he is. He's on another team.
Yeah, I think they were criticized that he was I don't say this to be critical, but sort of doing the Barry Sanders thing, where rather than take the 3 yards, he's trying to make a big play everywhere, and you get -2. Put him in bad situations. And that was one knock on Barry Sanders. He was a highlight waiting to happen, but a lot of times he'd get caught behind the line of scrimmage as well, trying to make something out of nothing. Sometimes you got to take your 3 yards in a cloud of dust and make it 2nd and 7. Put your team in better position here. Plus, I think, like I said, he had some problems in the locker room, and I think in the end he just wasn't worth the headache.
Yeah, so plus we're talking about Barry Sanders, as you could make an argument that he's the most talented running back in the history of the entire league. JJ certainly is not that. So very often we see this with teams where it's kind of a head-scratcher. Why would the Texans trade a left tackle in the middle of the year? Why would the Dolphins trade their starting running back? I think sometimes if an NFL coach gets the sense that not everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction, they got to make a move and make sure that what they perceive to be a team issue is eliminated. So I think that's why you see that with both teams. Bill O'Brien doesn't want to get rid of his left tackle in the middle of the year, but if the team felt that's a
goal, I don't think that had to do with O'Brien.
I agree. But if the team perceives that Brown is an issue for them, then they have to get rid of him. I say that not to suggest that Bill O'Brien made that decision. That's a McNair.
They got a good price on him, though. I mean, at least they extracted value. I would say at least fair value, if not actually over market value. I'm going to go for a fourth-round pick. I mean, I don't want to say that's giving him away, but you know, a fourth-round pick is 50-50 at best. And the odds of him ever becoming a player, you know, that were talking an all pro or someone even above average is less than that. So I have a hard time with that deal. But like I said, it may come down to Miami. What you said, he's causing problems. Got to move on. Addition by subtraction. And if he's not in your long term plans anyway, if you're not going to sign him to that next contract because of the knee, which they're more than likely not, then I guess you do have to get what you can get.
Yeah. So let's talk about that game in general. We talked about the Eagles, the Broncos side of the ball. Devontae Booker, people seem to be suggesting that we may see more Devontae Booker going forward. I'm a Devontae Booker owner in three leagues. I've been hanging around waiting for this. I traded him away in the one league, which I just detailed in a previous segment, but I'm still hanging on to him in a couple of others. So do you expect that he, C.J. Anderson, cedes some carries to Devontae Booker moving forward, or is it just a little bit more guesswork by fantasy analysts?
No, it's guesswork, but it's educated guesswork. So, yes, I do expect Booker to get a few more carries, but does it matter this week? You're going up against Philadelphia. That's a pretty good run defense. Yeah, if not a very good run defense. Fletcher Cox did not get suspended for the hit on Staley, and from what I saw on film, I would agree. It didn't look all that illegal to me. So he was going to play. A great defensive lineman there. The way to beat Philly on defense is outside the numbers. Deep passes, a quarterback who can get that done. Not running the ball. I don't have C.J. Anderson or Booker as anything more than RB3s this week.
Eagles are top six against the running backs in fantasy. So, I struggle to find what the Broncos are going to do offensively.
Rocky Mountain High, baby.
I was just, that's a nice one. A nice little line right there. So that Rocky was going to be my next question. Trevor Siemian out. Brock Osweiler in. Brock Osweiler in. Still no sign of Paxton Lynch. So what are your thoughts here?
They had no choice. Had to Ben Siemian, right? After he did that last deception, where he was running to his right through way across his left. I mean, and the defender's right there. What did he see there where he could have possibly thought that was a good idea? I think once that was the end. You know, Siemian, it's amazing, Mike. I mean, we saw him the first couple of weeks. He looked like a world beater, right? He's against the Cowboys. He lit them up. Week one, he looked good, and he's just falling off the planet. They don't believe Paxton Lynch has had enough practice time yet coming back from the injury to really compete for this job. So it's Osweiler, I guess, by default. You know, he has had some good times in Denver before. That's how he got the big deal from Houston. So I guess we'll see what he can do here. But this is probably not the matchup for him. On the road against what might be the best team in the NFC, if not the NFL, I mean, I'm not liking it. I think that Philadelphia defensive line is going to have a field day going after him.
Yeah, I mean, to give you a sense of what George was saying, his first game this year at going against the Chargers, Siemian was 17 of 28 for 219 and two scores. He threw a pick. Next game against Dallas, 22 of 32 for 231 and four scores, also threw a pick there. Then it devolved. It's 24 of 40, 16 of 26, 29 of 50. They can't be throwing the ball 50 times a game. 25 of 35 and 19 of 36. But interception, touchdown interception ratio in those five games is three touchdowns and four, five 8 interceptions. So 3-8. That's not going to get it done. That's why Brock Osweiler's in. We'll see if Paxton Lynch can make a push after he's fully healthy. But, you know, this, again, a tough assignment this week. We'll do the Chiefs-Cowboys really quickly here. Just give me an update of what you think of the Zeke Elliott situation. What do you do with the backups? Because Rod Smith and Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden got picked up everywhere and already released in some instances.
Well, they shouldn't be, because once again, this is only a one-game reprieve. I mean, this goes back into the second circuit on Tuesday, and over again, the NFL has won here. So I expect them to win again. We just don't know when. You know, I think this is terrible news for fantasy owners. I think he is going to get suspended. Now he's done for the playoffs. Yep. You know, whenever he gets, this may be the last week he plays, and now he maybe comes back for your championship week. That's it. So not good here, but you do get him this week. But I would not release. Don't release McFadden, Morris, or Smith if you pick them up.
Yeah, I would. And for those people that have already released him, Zeke's going to be done most likely. And as George said, those next 6 weeks take you right up to the championship game. So you're going to be hanging on to a guy that may not even play for you again. So we'll come back after the break. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Fired up for the weekend. All these tremendous games that we're talking about, George. The action-packed NFL slate in week 9 of the weirdest NFL season I could possibly remember. So we'll keep going through it. We talked about Eagles-Broncos. We talked about Chiefs-Cowboys. Again, like George said, don't release any of those other guys, because McFadden, Morris appears to have the lead job, but not dissimilar to what you said with Miami. You could absolutely see McFadden coming in if he's more effective.
I can see Rod Smith coming in, because more Dallas is not going to be able to play games here. Whoever's ever doing the best is going to play.
Yeah, agreed. Morris appears to have the first shot, but we'll see what happens when that game kicks off tomorrow at, that's 4:25. That's the it's your team, George. America's team gets the America's game slot right there against the Chiefs. That's a good game, actually. That's probably the best game on the slate.
Probably the best game of the day, yeah.
Yeah. Broncos-Eagles could be interesting, but that's only if the Broncos play a lot better than they've been playing. The next game, there's one game I specifically wanted to talk about. The one thing I wanted to mention, Falcons-Panthers. I want to mention this because I found it in my league. Now, in one of my leagues, and granted, this is a shallow league, so you can't really hang on to guys for too long, but I was able to pick up Greg Olsen. I'm mentioning it because I don't think Greg Olsen was hung on to by everybody because he was lost for so long, but he's coming back in week 12, according to all the reports I'm seeing. If he's out there and you can afford a spot, I'd get Greg Olsen back, because whether Kelvin Benjamin was there or not, Greg Olsen is the number one target. And when he comes back in, he's going to be the number one target.
Yeah, I actually wrote about Olsen in my waiver wire column this week for the exact same reason you just mentioned. All right, he's owned in less than CBS leagues, less than 50%. So he's out there.
Yeah,
you might want to take a look. He's still about three weeks away from returning here. Not till week 12 is, I believe, the target date there. So you need a tight end, or at least if you want to screw somebody, maybe your opponent is going to need a tight end back there. Somebody you think is you're going to battle with in the playoffs. So maybe you want to do a little, play a little defense here and take him. But Greg Olsen should be back. I mean, I'm going to worry about how if he's going to be fully healthy, Mike, coming off the leg.
Sure.
So he may not have that burst here, but still. Most of us need tight end help. Tight end has been a vast wasteland this year, outside of the top guys, the Gronk, the Ertz, and Kelsey. It's been a little tough this year, tight end.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'll give you a perfect real life fantasy example. I had Pierre Garçon in that league. I had to cut him. And instead of going out and finding somebody to fill in right away at receiver, I'm just kind of taking what I consider to be maybe the better long-term asset there. I have Chris Hogan there on the bench on a bye, and I'm playing Amari Cooper this week, which who knows what I'm going to get. But I decided to go with Greg Olsen, as you said. What I like about the reports that I've read, George, and sometimes we're all constantly trying to read the tea leaves on this kind of stuff, there was a very specific plan in place as to when he's coming back. It wasn't this nebulous Andrew Luck situation where it's like, he's not throwing right now, but a couple of more weeks and we're going to see. And then before you know it, the guy doesn't play the whole year. With Olsen, it's like Greg's progressing nicely. We expect to, you know, have him after the bye week in week 12. That'll give him a couple of more weeks. He's starting to do these exercises, whatever else. When they lay out a plan for somebody's return, it gives me a little bit of confidence. Now, as you always say, how do you know when a coach is lying? When his lips are moving. But they could have said a variety of different things as opposed to laying out the plan as to when he's going to be back.
Well, you put it perfectly. We're reading tea leaves, and I agree with you. I think with Olsen, you get a pretty good idea. And listen, Olsen has always stated it himself. Andrew Luck has always been vague, which actually probably should have clued us in for a while that what was going on here with him. You know, so I think with Olsen, we do know he's coming back. You know, you bring up Garcon again. Could he be placed on IR, please? You know, they're still waiting for this here. He's San Fran hasn't done it yet. You know, they say he's out for the year. It'd be nice if they could put him on IR.
Oh, so you can put him on an IR slot. Yeah. I thought I read that he was but on injured reserve, but maybe the sites are a little slow, but maybe it's not official yet. So
I don't think it's official. They did say he is going to be placed, but he hasn't been placed officially yet. Maybe he gets done before tomorrow, hopefully.
That would be unbelievable if they're like, he might be back in a few weeks after I've released him everywhere. But in any event, so that's my one point with Greg Olsen. So let's talk about that game, though. Falcons at Panthers. Give me a sense of what you see here. Falcons, I mean, Matt Ryan's been awful.
I don't know.
It's been awful. Hey,
what do we see? Ryan's been awful? Cam's been awful? I mean, what do we see? Now they traded Kelvin Benjamin. It's a big game. It's just it's a strange game there. You go with Atlanta. Freeman was banged up last week, but he looks like he's okay with the shoulder injury, so he should get his normal workload here. Maybe Tevin Coleman gets a few more touches, but the normal workload. Matt Ryan, I mean, it's on the road, Carolina. Traditionally not a place he's actually lit up all that often, but still, you're probably starting him. I can't think you're going to have 10, 12 quarterbacks ahead of him when six teams are on bye. No Brady, no Rivers. So I got to think you're going with him. There's no Roethlisberger either, for that matter. So I'm starting him. I think even Mohamed Sanu is in play here, though someone I'm not dying to get in my lineup. Carolina's more interesting because I think outside of McCaffrey, I don't know if I like anybody else. I mean, Fontaine, we want to move him up, right? Because now he's the number one, so he's certainly more interesting, certainly more of a player we're going to talk about. But I don't know, it's sort of a prove-it game. Can you be the number one already? Just a couple days after the deal of Kelvin Benjamin to Buffalo. Not loving this at all, Mike, fantasy-wise. This smells to me like a medium-scoring game, 21-20, somewhere around that range, where nobody truly lights it up.
Yeah, and Panthers have been pretty good against opposing wide receivers. Where do the Falcons slot in here? Middle of the pack there against fantasy wide receivers, the Falcons. Yeah, both pretty good. I think they're both like top 10 against opposing wide receivers. So you got your work cut out for you trying to get points. I'm a McCaffrey owner in a couple of leagues, so I think the Kelvin Benjamin trade is going to help me. But Funchess owners are probably going to be excited. I just don't know if he can pull it off. I think he gains value just by sheer number of targets, but I don't know how efficient he's going to be. He hasn't really done a whole ton with the touches that he's gotten so far. So we'll move on to another game. What's one do I talk about next? Yeah, so we got Bucks at Saints. We talked about during the break, actually, George and I were talking about how Drew Brees hasn't exactly been all that great, and Jameis Winston has been sort of a mess. So, George, how do you see this game playing out? It's a game that going into the year or maybe a couple of months ago, we would have thought, like, man, there's going to be some fantasy windfalls there, but I don't know if I see it.
Well, for the Bucs, it's all about the health of Winston, so that we don't really know. You know, last week he was supposedly healthy. Came out the big game in Buffalo. Granted, it was a lot of sort of garbage time points there, too. It was all late when they were trailing, but still, it was fantasy goodness. Looked good. Last week was the exact opposite. He was just terrible. I mean, terrible from the word go. He did not throw the ball down the field. That shoulder looked like it was bothering him. maybe he's better. You know, he was a full participant in practice on Friday, so that would tell you that he's better. Maybe he's not. You just don't know. You know, if I can sit Ben Winston this week, Mike, I'm sitting him. I'd rather not take the chance. And New Orleans is playing very good on defense, and very good on defense. So probably the biggest dramatic improvement I've ever seen from week one, two, ever. I mean, really, when you think about this, how awful this defense looked that Monday night game versus Minnesota to now, amazing. I mean, really amazing. So I don't know if I trust anybody on Tampa Bay. I mean, you're probably starting Doug Martin. I can't see you having better running backs than that. You're certainly starting Mike Evans. DeShaun Jackson is probably somebody I would more want to think about here, depending on what else I have out there. And you look at New Orleans, listen, you're starting Breeze. You're starting Michael Thomas. We know that. You're starting Kamara. You're starting Ingram. I know he fumbled a couple of times last week, and he was pretty much berated by Sean Payton for doing it, but I'm starting him. But I'll tell you this, Mike. If he fumbles once on Sunday, I'm going to start to get very, very nervous. Because we've seen this before with Payton. He punishes he's punished Ingram for doing lesser things, more or less fumbling three times. And let's, he did almost lose them that game last week. Now, like if the NFL rules a catch, they probably do lose the game, or at least it gets a hell of a lot closer, because that Zach Miller touchdown was a touchdown. That was complete BS. They ruled. I don't know how they just.
I don't understand that.
I don't know what a catch is, Mike. I just don't know what a catch is in the NFL anymore.
Yeah. It's amazing that the league has managed to foul that up. And, you know, the guy suffers the most devastating injury of the entire season.
Oof.
And they take away the touchdown.
What's annoying is they keep supporting it. Oh, no. The referee actually made the right call. How?
I didn't even see when the ball came loose. I never saw it.
I just never saw it at all.
Between that and the Austin Seferian Jenkins non-touchdown, I'm totally confused again.
You can see the ASJ one. You can see it a little bit.
I get when the ball came loose, but to say that it was definitive and they can overrule the touchdown
right,
and give the ball to the Patriots didn't make sense. I did see the ball moving around. Yes. Getting back to the Saints.
I can't understand the issue. I can't understand the Miller one.
Totally agree.
I lost him for three leagues.
Yeah. I lost him in one spot as well. So obviously praying for a recovery for him. Football, least of his concerns, 33-year-old tight end dealing with an injury like that.
The Saints did a pretty cool thing. You realize the Saints as a team visited him?
Oh, they did? I didn't hear that.
They did. That's pretty cool, man. They just showing up for their brother, another football player. But for a guy not on their team to go visit him, I thought that was – and not for an illegal hit or anything. This was actually just him going up for the ball, landed wrong. So I thought that was pretty damn cool.
I agree as well. It's good to see stories like that and some positive NFL stories coming out of a negative situation. You're right on the Ingram thing. It is one of the quirkier relationships in all of the NFL, right? The Sean Payton, Mark Ingram relationship. Everybody says they hate the guy. He's still been the starting running back there for years, but the fumble thing is a huge problem. You're right. If he fumbles one more time, you just worry about him getting benched. So, go ahead.
It is the best way to get benched, right? You put that ball on the ground. That's any coach besides, even including Payton, will bench you. So it's a worry. He better hold on to that football tomorrow.
No doubt. We'll come back. We'll talk about Raiders, Dolphins, Washington at the Seahawks. Talk about those games and more after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're back on the radio, specifically Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George here for the next 20 minutes or so. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, please do at FNTSY Radio. I know some questions coming in on Twitter. We'll get to those in a bit. But first, I want to tell you about DKMS and a free DFS contest that we have going on. So what's DKMS? You're going to go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS and find out. You can also go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. And they're on a mission to fight blood cancer. Our goal is to have people sign up to be bone marrow donors, which you can do. You can make a donation, which would be fantastic. And you can help us by spreading the word about the DKMS cause. But more importantly, for the fun portion of this contest is you get to go to a link in that URL, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. There's a link there for Fantasy Draft and a free DFS contest that's sponsored by Fantasy Draft, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and DKMS. And if you win that weekly contest, it's a big pool. We've been playing about 1,000 people a week. We're trying to grow it as big as we can. You can get a ticket to the Week 17 contest, and that Week 17 contest will comprise the 16 weekly winners, and the winner of the Week 17 contest, George, gets what?
They get 2 tickets to the big game, Michael.
There you go, with your game show announcer voice. That's right, 2 tickets to the big game in Minneapolis in February. So go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You'll find the link to Fantasy Draft and play in the free DFS contest there and help us fight the cause, the mission to fight blood cancer in conjunction with DKMS. So that being said, we're going to keep going on through these games. I think I had something specifically to ask you, George, but in any event, I'll go through the games and see if it can spark a memory. We'll go to Washington at Seattle. Washington's desperate for a big win here. I don't know that this is the week that they're going to get it. They're on the road.
Desperate for healthy bodies right about now.
That's very true. Very true. They have tons of injuries. I think we mentioned earlier that Trent Williams was doubtful. They're getting Jameson Crowder back, but Jordan Reed is out. That's nothing new. But that being said, he is out.
Are they getting Crowder back? I thought he was more questionable to / doubtful.
Oh, you might be right. I thought I read on the injury report that he may be making his way back, but Jameson Crowder could be game time. Let's see.
Yeah, he says he has a major impact on his explosiveness. Yeah. He's kind of tricky. That sort of seems to me that he's probably not going to play, or at the very least, he'll be hampered, which, of course, if you're on Crowder, is just, you know, it's par for the course, right? He's been terrible all year. Iffy all season, has one big game. And now he's probably not going to play him next week.
I used him in a DFS lineup last week, and he crushed it.
Boom!
Yeah,
I mean, 8 for 123.
Yeah, I was just trying to slot in a guy whose value was low, and I just took a shot on him, so he helped me with that one DFS lineup.
But you didn't win 2 tickets to the big game.
No, I definitely did not. Most of my DFS lineup and tournaments last week were garbage. That was the one that hit because he helped me a lot. I had Russell Wilson and him. So that being said, as you said, Washington's all banged up. Rob Kelly continues to be kind of banged up, but he's another guy that's questionable.
No offensive line. It's not the week. I mean, I got a question earlier. Someone named about 6 running backs to start. And they were guys who were just pretty much nobodies there. I forget all the guys here, but Kelly was one of them, and I had to pick him because he was the only starter of the bunch that might have a chance to do anything. Everybody else was like second and third string guys. They'd be lucky if they even played. But I have very little faith in Kelly this week. Even if, the offensive line is struggling to say the least. You're playing in Seattle. Granted that their run defense can be beat, but not against that offensive line. They're gonna slow. I don't like this game at all for Washington. There's the beat-up team now. They don't look good here. I have worries that this game could get ugly. The only difference is the secondary is healthy. D'Angelo Hall's back. You know, Josh Norman. So, you know, theoretically, they should be able to slow down the passing game some. And we all know Seattle can't run the ball.
Correct. You know, you brought up a point that I was going to make during the course of the show, so this is the best time to do it. There are so many. Look, we know going into the year there's going to be a lot of running back committees. There's so many out there right now that are a mess to try to figure out how to rank. You have the Drake Williams situation in Miami. You have Baltimore, which is finally gaining some clarity with Alex Collins over Javorius Allen, so we think. The reality is Javorius Allen had 17 carries last week, albeit in a blowout. Then you have Seattle, which is a mess. You have Washington, where Rob Kelly is a starter, but yet Chris Thompson has been the only guy that's had any value in that backfield. You know, the Samaje Perine has 55 carries on the year and 28 fantasy points. So tell me how that's going for you. You have, you know, I get Orleans Darkwa questions all the time. We have, what do you do when Zeke Elliott is out between the three of those guys? There's so many situations now, George. It's just becoming impossible to figure out.
Well, that's where the NFL is, right? This is not a shock.
Yeah.
I mean, more teams have RBBCs than don't. There are very few teams other than Pittsburgh, Dallas, you know, that way you just go with one guy. You know, Arizona would have been there if David Johnson was healthy, but even Atlanta, you know, Devonta Freeman, you guys still got Tevin Coleman, a guy who can play. So it's tough, and it's today's NFL. They don't want their top running back generally getting, you know, 25-plus carries where they get beat up and a short shelf life there. So it's the way it is. It makes life tougher. It means there's more players in the player pool, but it also means you're going to have rough decisions because you're going to guess wrong on some weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. And New Orleans mirrors Atlanta in a lot of ways, too. You know, they want the
Absolutely.
Two backs. They like, I mean, look, Sean Payton, I wouldn't say that he's got the blueprint for it, but he's been doing it for years. He's always had guys in very specific
roles. At least those
roles.
Two guys, though, you know, Kamara and Ingram are both playable.
I agree.
Know, you get to Atlanta, generally Coleman's not playable, but last
Tell me
week
about
he
it.
Was.
I play him like every week in one league because it's all I got. And then I get a 6-for-16 against New England.
It's rough because you just don't know what you get because he has talent. We all know he has the talent. He can play.
Yeah.
But Freeman's generally the guy. The offense hasn't clicked as much last year, so they haven't had as many opportunities to get it, which would give him, obviously, if he had more first downs, controlling the ball more, Coleman might get more touches. So it's just it has been the same Atlanta offense that we've been accustomed to.
Yeah, and Tevin Coleman's last week was his season high in touches with 15. And rushing yards with 82. He had 14 carries for 82 yards, but at most every other week he had single-digit carries. So
Freeman got banged up last week. That was why.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, well, we'll keep going through it. Washington at Seahawks, as you said, it could be a rough game there. Russell Wilson's on fire, so yeah, you just keep doing it there. How about the Paul Richardson situation? Are you a buyer on Paul Richardson right now?
I would have been if not. I don't like this week. You know, not that I expect huge things out of him. I don't. But I think we're going to see solid production from him. It's just funny. Over the past couple of weeks, Russell Wilson is not going to Doug Baldwin as much, which makes you wonder if Baldwin a little banged up, not getting open. Looks fine. He's finding Richardson a whole lot. Richardson had another touchdown called back last week. Could have had three. I think the penalty was actually on him, so no, I don't feel bad. But I had a huge game there. A huge game. Lockett's playing well now again, but I know it's going to happen. As soon as we get Richardson or as soon as we get Lockett, we don't hear from them again.
Look,
yeah, that's a lot of the way it is.
Yeah, no doubt. Tyler Lockett has 38 targets for Richardson's 36. He's got 26 catches to Richardson's 22, and they're about 30 yards apart with Richardson having the edge in yardage. But Richardson has 5 touchdowns. That's the difference. And if you want us to sit here and try to predict touchdowns, you're listening to nobody can do it. So it's a fool's errand to try to guess the touchdowns at some point that will probably swing in Lockett's direction. Ultimately, they're about the same value. That's the best way I can put it.
My other problem would be, what is the Seattle? I know they got Dwayne Brown. Maybe that helps matter some of it. But what is the Seattle offense? It's schoolyard. Russell Wilson, run around. Make a play. Yeah. And yeah. So some of that's luck. It's not designed to go to Richardson. It's just that when he's running around, Richardson's the guy he's been able to find and hit. So that's not. I don't think that's sustainable there. But that being said, Richardson, Lockett, they're both pickups.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games. So those of you that have reaped benefits there, I think it's, you know, ultimately tight end ones are very touchdown dependent anyway. It's good that he's getting in the end zone now. The 46 targets is what you should be encouraged about with Graham to this point in the season. It's second to only Doug Baldwin on the entire team. Next game we wanted to talk about, Raiders at Dolphins. We obviously have running back scenarios here, which are very muddled. Marshawn Lynch comes back from his suspension. What does that look like with him and DeAndre Washington? You did?
I'm shot in that league. I have so many. That team just sucks. So I needed a running back. I have so many guys. This week was a brutal week for buys for me in a lot of leagues. So I had to pick up. Got to go with him. See what happens here. I don't expect much at all. But he was the best that was. Let's know how thin that was. He was the best that was available out there by far. I got Damian Williams in that league as well. By the way.
So if you had to play Marshawn Lynch in this would you play him over Kenyon Drake or Damian Williams?
I think I'm starting Williams and him so in that league, so I'll let you know how weak I am at running back. Yes, this week, because, you know, the Dolphins may be without William Hayes. He's their best run defender, you know, so that's good news there. He's got fresh legs, hasn't played in a week. Maybe he's angry for getting suspended. Once again, I'm trying to be an optimist here, Mike. I don't see big things here. When it comes to Lynch, I'm hoping he falls into the end zone.
Yeah, and obviously it probably puts a damper on the DeAndre Washington hopefuls and the Jalen Richard hopefuls. So we'll see how that shapes up. One game real quick we'll squeeze in here, Rams at Giants. Giants obviously continue to be a mess, but Sterling Shepard comes back.
Yeah, you like that because, hey, someone's got to catch the ball. You know, I hope Shepard can stay healthy. Obviously, that ankle may not be fully healed until after or to the offseason. He's now sprained it twice, once in preseason, once a couple weeks ago. So, Janoris Jenkins is suspended. I mean, the Giants are a disaster. That's a dumpster fire. Second cornerback suspended this year. Jenkins decides not to show up to practice on Monday and not tell it to anybody. For the Rams, hey, Gurley, I'm certainly going with him. Cup, I'm done with Watkins, Mike. All right, any questions, Watkins? I don't even think about it until I see something. He's had one good game this year, folks. That's it. Of that, he's barely shown up.
Yeah, look, Woods and Cup have been more consistent, that's for sure. And when it becomes a guessing game like that, you almost rather not have the guy on your roster. I'd say this as an Amari Cooper owner. So, anyway, we'll come back to close it out after the break. We'll get George's Survivor full pick and mine as well. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Roto Experts. We're going to close it out right here with a Survivor Pool pick from George and I. And then we're going to talk about, honestly, of all the weird things that happened in the NFL this week, what we're going to talk about next was the weirdest. But first, let's get your Survivor Pool pick, George, as we close this out. As we were talking during the break, there's a lot of tough games this week because you're betting on guys like Tom Savage in his first start since week one, Brock Osweiler. It goes on the road against Philly. Do you want to bet on Blake Bortles playing the Bengals or Eli Manning going up against the Rams? You don't want to do those. Mariota? Anyway, I laid out a few. There's a bunch of tough games to pick this week. You know, you're not going to pick. Are you going to pick Brett Hundley on Monday night against the Lions? Probably
God,
not.
God, no.
Right?
No. It is tough. It's just, last week I thought it was pretty easy. I thought there were a lot of games you could pick. And I think they all came through as well. I think I would go with Philadelphia, go with the best team at home against Brock Osweiler. I can't see that going well. I just can't see that going well for Denver. I can also see Seattle against a beat-up Washington team that's be really right now lucky they can field 45 players, more or less beat Seattle. And I can also see Arizona over San Fran. You know, we're losing Garcon, not much of an offense there. C.J. Beathard looked terrible. But the problem is I can't bank on Drew Stanton.
You know, last year was a relatively healthy year for quarterbacks, and it's completely reversed now. We've lost a lot of starting quarterback games this year between Rodgers and now Watson and Palmer and other guys that have obviously had a big impact. We lost Mariota for a game, Derek Carr broke bone in his back, and he's playing. It's very odd to me. Anyway. The weirdest story of the week. So, well, you picked the Eagles. I think that's a good move. I would probably go with the Eagles as well. But to mix it up, I'll say the Hawks, but I really do like the Titans to kind of bounce back against the Ravens.
Mariota was awful versus the Browns last time.
I know. But I sort of like a bounce back there. But I would
and
probably
speaking
pick the
of
Hawks.
The Browns.
Yeah, speaking of, the worst franchise in, I'm going to say, all four major professional sports, the Cleveland Browns. There's now a story coming out that Dee Haslam, Jimmy Haslam, the owner's wife, I mean, the family owns the team, so she's sort of part of the situation there. She apparently went nuclear on the Browns personnel for botching this trade. It was an alleged second and third round pick for A.J. McCarron, something that Hugh Jackson really wanted. He knows A.J. McCarron from his time in Cincy. And whatever story you happen to believe, the reality is the Browns didn't turn in the paperwork properly and the trade did not go through. It was vetoed. They appealed to the league, so they can't say they didn't really want the trade because they did appeal to the league and it was vetoed. So ultimately, give me your 1 minute thoughts on this.
Comedy. Just a comedy, right? I mean, amazing. This is not a new regime. They know how to work a trade here. You mentioned they have somebody who worked in the front office. They know how to do this. To botch this is just strange. In my mind, somebody didn't want this trade to go through. So they botched it on purpose. That's what I think happened. Yeah, I know you said they appealed. That could be somebody else who appealed, not the person who botched it. So it's just strange to me. And for Cincinnati to want to make this deal, to trade A.J. McCarron to a team within a division, tells you all you need to know about, A, what they think about McCarron, and B, that they thought they were getting a great deal here. They were fleecing Cleveland. Because you don't trade a quarterback within your division. I don't care how bad or how much of a joke you think the organization is. And I couldn't agree with you more, Mike. If this is not the worst organization in sports, what team is?
Yeah. There's a gentleman named Chris Cooper who works in their front office. He's their director of football administration. He worked in the league office. He knows how to administer trades properly. So there is somebody in the building that knows what they're doing, which makes this even worse. The last thing I'd say on the Browns, before we close out the show and hand it over to the next one, is that they are in dire need of stability in that front office. After actions like this, I think everybody's fireable, and I think they do another regime change after this.
Agreed.
That's all we got on the Roto Experts. Mike and George, we're out till next week. Good luck this week, everybody.